Blessed Mayhem, Book 2 of the Mayhem Series by Sue Coletta, published by Tiergar Publishing. www.tirpub.com/scoletta. Chapter 1. Sunday, 11:33 p.m. 9 months of being a law-abiding citizen was enough. My dirty little secret wasn't a choice for me anymore. It was an urge I couldn't resist, a need buried deep in my soul, the ultimate temptation I refused to deny. Flashlight leveled, I prowled through the gates of Timber Point, a gated community with Stepford-esque lawns spaced the same distance apart. You need a dough to live in the digs around here. Clearly the residents believe the old adage, he who dies with the most toys wins. Benzes, Beamers, one dude even had a Rolls Royce. In the good old days, that alone would lure me to the house, but I didn't do this for myself anymore, no matter what my best friend believed. Shrouded in darkness, I lowered to the curb across from a Victorian contemporary. White vinyl encapsulated the first floor. Rich wine sided the pointed second story. Navy trimmed the roof line, door, and a quadruple bay window, and 2-foot lanterns fringed the sides of the walkway like an airstrip at night. All this light wasn't ideal, but I rolled with it. One can never be too particular in these situations. Beau Adams, the best cat burglar in the business and my mentor, taught me that little nugget of wisdom years ago. Like in most things, he was right about this, too. If I waited for the perfect opportunity, we would have starved to death in the tunnel where we lived back then. Tonight's target was this rich prick who used his wife as a punching bag. That wasn't what set him in my crosshairs, though. Last week, the greedy bastard embezzled over $1 million from his own father. What I should have done was tell his wife about his 25-year-old girlfriend so she could dump his sorry ass, but nobody ever accused me of being a rat. I crept to the living room window to see if Christian Fairfield sat in his usual leather wing chair. Oftentimes, Mr. Personality drank himself half in the bag before passing out in front of the TV. Elizabeth, his wife, probably welcomed the peace, time to lick her wounds and rest. How women put up with that shit was beyond me. But hey, some might say, who am I to judge? Pitch blackness veiled the house, except for a slight glimmer from a stove light. I jiggled the handle on the back door. Locked. I scouted every window on the first floor before finding one left unlocked. A couple taps to the sides of the screen and it glided open like a finger swiped through icing. Snickering, I squirmed headfirst through the frame and landed in a handstand that could have easily scored 10 points at a gymnastic competition. Pretentious didn't begin to describe this bathroom. Gaudy wallpaper with gold paisley print. No one should be subjected to this much glitter. Poor bastard must be colorblind. See the lengths I went to help people. The rest of the house wasn't much better. Clearly, they reveled in their glory days, which, by my count, landed somewhere in the 1980s. In the living room hung a painting that looked like a sea of glass burning with fire. On the shore, people held harps. Harps! I shit you not, Fairfield was one strange dude. I prowled into the dining room, and a coppery, sweet aroma stopped me cold. Through the smoldering glow of my flashlight lay Elizabeth. Clear tubing ran from her inner thigh and neck to glass jugs collecting her blood. Warily, I approached and pressed 2 gloved fingers to her wrist. If she had a pulse, it faded fast. Searching for a hint of life, I loomed over her face. Nothing, not even a twitch of the eyelids. I swept my hair to the side and lowered my face to her nose and mouth. No breath. Why would he drain her of blood? The question only lingered until the upstairs floor creaked. I bolted toward the half bath off the kitchen. Footsteps hit the stairs. Who's there? A man called out. Even after several hours of recon, I didn't recognize him. He wasn't the homeowner, Christian Fairfield. Flattening against the wall in the hallway, I killed my flashlight. My heart was working overtime, blood sleuthing through my veins. Not that I didn't enjoy the rush, mind you, but I've been down this road before, and in layman's terms, it sucked. Little by little, I inched toward the bathroom. He called out, "Show yourself!" Yeah, right. What'd he take me for, fool? Silence encompassed the house, except for a grandfather's clock that ticked slow and loud, as if counting off the seconds till my death. At the worst possible moment, my cell phone belted out "You Oughta Know" by Alanis Morissette. Cringing, I fished my cell out of my back pocket, answered, "Little busy here, Nay." "Where are you?" My gaze roamed the hall. "I'm running an errand, but I really can't talk. Call you back." "Why are you whispering?" "Nay, I've got to go. I'll see you at home." "You're out catting again, aren't you?" I didn't have time for the third degree. Click. Better to apologize later than... Perhaps I shouldn't finish that sentence. The stranger soldiered toward me. With the full moon smoldering luster, neither of us could hide the fact that we'd seen each other. My cast muscles tightened, ready to run, but before I got the chance, he pitched toward me, brandishing a massive hunting knife saturated with fresh blood. Hands in surrender, I backed away. "Look, whatever it is you're doing is so not my business. Let's forget this ever happened. What do you say?" Eyebrows pinched as though he had no idea what to make of me, listed his head to one side. "Are you gothic? I believe that's the correct term, is it not?" I cocked my arm, ready to knock his teeth out if he tossed one more dig about my signature style. "Who you calling goth, pal?" He snickered in my face. "The ball's on this guy." "My, my, aren't you an interesting feline?" he said, his tone dripping with malevolence. "How'd you know what I..." "The only ones who break into homes in the middle of the night are thieves, gangsters, and killers. You are not wearing the color of the day, so gangs aren't your thing. And I seriously doubt you're casing the joint to commit murder. Therefore, by simple deduction, that leaves only one reason for your presence tonight. From the confidence you ooze, I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt. Hence, feline. If you prefer, I don't mind using the term cat burglar for the remainder of our time together."
"What the?"
"Tell me," he stepped closer, "do you enjoy your work? What are we, girlfriends now?" He threw his head back and laughed. "Listen, if we're done sharing, I really gotta bounce." "Adorable! You actually believe you can walk away? Ah, to be young again." "What the hell does that mean?" "You don't understand my statement. It's fairly straightforward." An icy tongue licked up my spine. "Ah, shit. You're the one I've been hearing about at work. I mean, on the news." "Uh-oh, slip of the tongue." He grinned, and it was all I could do not to wipe that smug look off his face. "Where exactly do you work, my little lynx?" "First of all, buddy, I'm not your anything." "Ooh, you are a feisty one. I like that." Knife lowered. His pale, almost translucent eyes burned right through me, like he could penetrate my soul. "Tell me, why this house? Why tonight?" "Let's just say I've got a beef with the rich prick who owns the place." "You are a fascinating little creature, aren't you?" Knuckles white from lack of blood flow, I raised my fist to eye level. "Creature? Want to try that again, pal?" A boisterous laugh broke from somewhere deep inside him. "Adorable. You're trying to piss me off." Holding his side, he laughed harder. Joyful tears filled his eyes. Whatever amused him to this level, I had no idea. That said, it didn't take a genius to figure out I was the butt of his secret joke. He jagged up my chest. If he wasn't wielding a knife, I might be tempted to teach him a lesson in common decency. Yeah, great. Keep laughing, pal. I'm out of here. I rotated toward the front door. Ah, not so fast. You've seen my face.
And you've seen mine. That makes us even.
Tell me, he said, forehead wrinkling, his unusual yet disturbing eyes narrowed to slits. What's with the makeup?
Huh?
He waved a dismissive hand toward my face. The makeup, the hair, the nose piercing. Is this what the kids are wearing nowadays? Seriously? Arm snapping a cuff, he glimpsed an expensive gold watch. We've got time. Combined with the tailored silk suit and black fedora, this dude wasn't hurting for cash. As much as I'd love to chat with you about shit that's none of your business, I've got to be somewhere. You have quite a mouth on you. Though it wasn't easy, I resisted rolling my eyes. So I've been told. Anyway, it's been real. Have a good night, Mr. Murderer.
Mayhem.
Startled, my head jerked back. Excuse me?
Mr. Mayhem, that's what they call me.
Catchy. Your mother must be so proud. With fire in his eyes, he pitched toward me. I zigzagged around him, but he beat me to the stairs. Look, I don't have time for this crap. Make your move or get out of my way.
Why is everyone in such a rush, he said.
Life is precious. You should appreciate the fact that I'm willing to take my time. Color me curious, but you intrigue me with your tough girl routine, the makeup, the hair, even the nose piercing. Each time he sloughed off a shrug, blood boiled in my veins. I suppose some might find it attractive.
You better watch that mouth of yours, pal. I'm starting to lose my patience.
Grinning, his nose crinkled.
Adorable.
Did I say something to amuse you?
Oh, you have no idea.
Compared to Elizabeth over there. His gaze fled to the dining room table, but returned too fast for me to make my move. You're a ray of sunshine.
I'll tell you what, my feisty lynx. Because I'm in a giving mood, before we play together, I'll give you a head start.
One, don't let me get to 10.
Two,
before the psycho made his move, I hauled ass, leaping the stairs two at a time, my boots screeching across the hardwood, as I careened around the top railing and took off down the hall. The lying bastard didn't wait till 10, not 3 seconds after I fled. His heavy footfalls pounded the stairs. Down the hall was another full bath.
What can I say? They're easy escape routes.
I slid open the screen and climbed onto the roof, scurried across the shingles to the west side of the house and peered over the edge. No trees, no grass. A two-car garage stood solo, not attached to the house. 10 feet of tar between us. If the fall didn't kill me, it would surely end my career. Well, this one anyway. With no other choice, I backed to the far end of the road, roof, and ran full force toward the garage, leaped, like a doe, over to the garage roof, and landed with a heavy thud. My knees barely had time to absorb the blow when mayhem shoved open the back door. I jumped off the 8-foot-high roof to a small patch of grass, tucked into a somersault, and rolled to my feet. Flawless rendition, too. Mayhem bolted out the house and tried to cut me off. Out of nowhere, a crow swooped down to eye level. Caw, 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 penetrated bone deep. I shoot him away. Veered into the wooded lot next door, weaving around trees, over fallen branches, and through last fall's crunchy leaves, through gnarled branches and thorny vines. My gaze stayed with mayhem, who stopped, the moonlight ricocheting off the sharp blade in his hand.
Ah, I haven't felt this alive in years! You are really making me work for this!
What kind of whack job acts like we're playing hide-and-seek while he's hunting me like game?
He took one step, then another. Methodical, deliberate, precise. One step, then another. What could I do? Where could I run? One step, then another. If he found me, there's no telling what he'd do. From what I'd heard at work, he enjoyed spending time with his victims. the specifics of which were never clear, and I certainly was in no hurry to find out. One step, then another. I tucked into a ball, my hands latched around bent knees, my boots planted on the soft soil. One step, then another. I slid my mace from the holster. If pepper spray could stop a grizzly bear, it might buy me enough time to flee. One step, then another. Arms triangled in front of me, I aimed for his face, finger locked on the trigger. Nose wiggling like a bloodhound, tracking my scent, he stopped directly in front of my hiding spot. Come out, wherever you are. Yeah, right. Moron was not my middle name. Come on, my feisty lynx. I won't bite. Much. The way I saw it, I had two options. Either stay hidden and wait him out, or show myself and pray to all that's holy that I could blind him long enough to escape. I'd never been one to shy away from a challenge, but this situation had serious consequences, as if I missed, I could kiss my ass goodbye. It wasn't until he rotated halfway that a third option emerged. It would take skill and speed, two of my best attributes, but I needed to work fast. I clawed at the soil till I collected two good-sized rocks, then lobbed one over to the right. When the rock landed, he whirled toward the noise, and I inched further into the shadows. As he was about to reface my hiding spot, I whipped the second rock, which landed with a resounding thud. That drew his full attention. Quickly but quietly, I bolted for the main drag. The toe of my boot hit an exposed root and sent me flying into a tree with thick, edgy bark. At the exact moment, the crow soared by me. When I fell, my hand slapped his tail feathers and he spiraled to the ground with me. Stunned, he lay motionless. I might be spitballing here, but knocking a crow out of midair and almost killing him probably wasn't a good sign. Caw, caw, caw. Yeah, he didn't look happy at all. Crap. The crow, with a gold band around his ankle, flew to a low-hanging branch and glared at me, head cocked, as though taking mental snapshots of my face. It was one of the strangest things I'd ever encountered, and believe me, I'd seen some doozies over the years. When I scrambled to my feet, mayhem snagged my back pocket and yanked me to the ground. Instinct took over. I flipped, crushed his balls with the heel of my boot. Perfect shot, too. With the family jewels clutched in both hands, he buckled over in agony. But rather than threaten me, he called out, Poe! Poe? Did he have a partner? While he recovered, I sprinted to my Jeep parked outside the gates of Timber Point. This bitch better start. For luck, I stroked my mother's rosary bead, which hung from the rearview mirror. Turning the old key, old Bessie purred. I rubbed the dash. That's my girl. Gas pedal floored on the way home. I blew through a stop sign. Sure enough, red and blue lights swirled inside my Jeep. A bleeping siren sputtered for me to pull over. What else could go wrong? Nerves sizzled beneath my skin like strips of bacon in a cast-iron skillet as the officer approached my window. License and registration. Chalk. Detective Charles North, RPD kiss-ass and a pain in mine. We work together. Correction. One of us labors. Detective North's favorite pastime is to jump all over my shit while annoying half the department. Charles, he said, you know I go by Charles. Right, my bad. License and registration. Seriously? I shifted my weight to one side and felt my back pocket from my leather bifold. Oh my God. My facial muscles collapsed, erasing my cool facade. But I sure as hell wasn't about to give him the satisfaction of seeing me sweat. I'd rather eat glass. I must have left it at home, I lied. Driving without a license, he scribbled in his ticket pad, probably relishing over the opportunity to get even. You've got no cause to pull me over, so I don't give a shit what you write. I'm not paying it. He tore off the ticket, then I'll see you in court. What crawled up your ass this time, Chuck? Besides Chavez, I mean. Not long ago, Detective North emerged from the closet. No one cared. In fact, we all wondered what took him so long. Even so, I couldn't resist ragging on his sexuality. No better way to rile him. Why, I should. I whipped open the door, got right in his face. Yo, what? Arms wide, I wiggled my fingers, head bobbing left and right. Come on, tough guy. You and me, right now, take your best shot. I don't hit women. Same tired excuse, pussy. With a loud exhale, I added, well, Chuck, it's been real. He stomped his foot. My name is Charles, I smirked. Screwing with him never got old. This time, Shawnee, the ball's in my court. Take your ridiculous cliche and get the fuck out of my face. I swiped the damn citation and slid behind the wheel. How would I explain a ticket at this hour? 10 minutes later, I finally made it home, clicked off my headlights, and coasted into the driveway. When I pushed open the front door, a sudden blast of light crippled my stride. Where have you been? Nadine slapped a hand over her gaping mouth. Don't even tell me you're up to your old tricks. You know you can't go catting. Levon won't put up with it. I'm not, I said. I ran to the store for... So, why are you up so late? Date night, she said. Christopher just dropped me off. Are those pine needles in your hair? I raked my fingers through my ebony strands with red chunky highlights, my signature style, and swept the debris into a closed fist. Don't be ridiculous. Those are pine needles. No, they're not. Open your hand, then. Yeah, right. She had a better shot of seeing Hillary Clinton streak down Lindsay Lane. I swung my arm behind my back. Listen, Nay, I'm beat. You mind if we continue this later? Like, never. Sure, I guess, she said, but I wasn't buying it for a second. Nadine Kuchar let nothing go, especially when it came to one of my late-night rendezvous. I swear, harping on me was one of her favorite hobbies. The longer she lived here, the more I regretted extending the offer to let her stay with me while she and Christopher worked out a few things, the details of which weren't clear. I'm wide awake, she said. Can't we chit-chat a little while? I don't feel like going to bed yet. Read one of your mysteries, I waved a hand toward the bookshelf she installed. And by installed, I mean drilling through the sheetrock 9 friggin' times till she found a stud. Someone shoot me. But I've read them all. I threw my hands in the air. Then why are they hanging on my wall? Someone's in grumpy pants tonight. Against my will, my upper lip twitched. While we're on the subject, why is my gas grill in the middle of the backyard? You know damn well I keep it on the deck. Because you shouldn't have propane so close to the house. Everyone barbecues on their deck. If everyone jumped off the Tobin Bridge, would you do that too? Oh, my effing head. To halt the dull ache from escalating to a migraine, I massaged my temple. Just put the grill back where you found it, and no more redecorating. I like my shit where it is. Jeez, she said, what's wrong with you? I'm not doing this tonight. See you in the morning. Without waiting for a reply, I scooted up the spiral staircase to my loft bedroom. Reclining, my fingers weaved behind my head, I stared out the skylight, a tiny flecks of light dancing in the darkness. Where the hell was my wallet? If Mayhem got his grubby mitts on it, not to mention my driver's license inside, there's no telling what he'd do. That was Chapter 1 of Blessed Mayhem, Book 2 of the Mayhem series by Sue Coletta, published by Tiergar Publishing. You can read all the books, find all the books, at www.tirpub.com/SCOLETTA. Thanks for listening.